From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield, this is Inside Eagle Nation, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.
Strike three called, it is well with my soul at J.I. Clement Stadium.
Your all-access look into Eagle Athletics is Inside Eagle Nation.
Toogie with one, a three, and a win it! Got it! Game over!
Let's go to the Learfield studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
Another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed. After Super Bowl Sunday, everybody starting to get back into the swing of things on a Tuesday in Eagle Nation. How was your Super Bowl Sunday?
Not good enough that I had to take Monday off.
There you go.
Hoping that Matt Breida, Jerick McKinnon, and John Stevenson would get a chance to win a Super Bowl ring, but the Chiefs rallied for those three late touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, and no, we haven't had a chance to see him live, but just an unreal athlete. But still, the experience for Matt, for Jerick, and John to be a part of that, you hope they can get back to it. I know there's a lot of Falcons fans out there who said, huh, double-digit lead for Kyle Shanahan late in the ball game, yeah. And he squandered another one.
Yeah, old Fox showed Kyle Shanahan a couple too many times for people in Atlanta.
First three quarters I thought were kind of dull, but then the fourth quarter it heated up, and you wish that the Niners would have found something late, but very happy for them that they were able to at least get an NFC championship and hopefully find their way back there soon.
As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. A busy week in Georgia Southern Athletics, as a lot of different teams either starting, continuing, or starting to get towards the end of the season.
I feel like we could go lightning round with all of this, or just speed it up on the recording. And I'm not sure which people would have tougher time understanding.
It's either going to be a game show or the end of a commercial.
That's right.
One of the two. Georgia Southern Men's Golf hosted the Georgia Southern Individual Collegiate on Sunday and Monday. Had individuals from 18 different schools across the country, including participants from, of course, Georgia Southern, East Tennessee State, Alabama, Virginia, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Troy, Ohio State. A lot of different teams inside the Statesboro Metroplex, as you could say. I don't know if that works the same thing as Arlington.
Don't know that anybody has ever said that about Statesboro.
Hey, we'll be the first.
That's why you get a list of Inside Eagle Nation, because you always hear something new.
You're exactly
always
right.
Always hear something new.
But Georgia Southern Men's Golf finished up the Georgia Southern Collegiate on Sunday and Monday. Men's tennis, we talked about it last week, had a busy week last week, was supposed to start on Wednesday against Mercer at home. That was postponed due to weather. They then headed down to Jacksonville to take on North Florida, fell 4-3 to the Ospreys, then returned home on Sunday, defeated Gardner-Webb 4-3 in the morning, and then took the sweep over South Carolina State in the doubleheader in the afternoon, got the victory again 4-0. Over the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. They will stay at the Wallace Tennis Center on Saturday as they host Kennesaw State and USC Upstate in a joint match with Georgia Southern Women's Tennis. Women's Tennis was in Florida this past week, faced off against number 18 in the country, Texas A&M, on Friday, fell 7-0 to the Aggies, postponed on Saturday against the Stetson Hatters, and then made their way up to Daytona against Bethune-Cookman and won 7-0 on Sunday. Then they will return home, as we just mentioned, will host Kennesaw State and USC Upstate in a joint match with men's tennis on Saturday at the Wallace Tennis Center. Georgia Southern Rifle, we talked about, up in Moorhead, Kentucky. They fell in both competitions to number 15, Moorhead State. They will host the Georgia Collegiate Championship, presented by the Georgia Army National Guard, in Statesboro at the Shooting Sports Education Center, as they face off against North Georgia. Again, that coming on Saturday morning. Track and field was up at the Carolina Challenge on Friday and Saturday, second time they've been up in Columbia to take on South Carolina in the last 3 weeks. And of course, Mirab Nagwandala, she nearly broke her own record that we talked about a couple of weeks ago at the Gamecock opener in the 5,000 meter dash. Again, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, how she broke the Georgia Southern record. It was her own, but she almost broke it again, was 6/100ths of a second behind her record-breaking performance. And that's another reason I don't run. There's a lot of them. Part of it is because I'm slow.
That's the primary reason.
Yeah, no, that's not the primary reason by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're 6/100ths of a second, in my mind, you just round up, don't you? Or round down, I guess.
You can't do that in track. See, baseball, we can round up. Football, we can round up. Basketball, we can round up. Track, you really can't round up.
Yeah, like for baseball, if you're hitting 297, oh, he's a 300 hitter.
Or if you're 249.6, he's 250.
Yeah, no doubt.
250 just sounds better. You go from an hitter to, oh, he's average.
Yeah.
He's completely average hitter. His average is average.
Along with Rob Nagwandala's outing on Friday and Saturday at the Carolina Challenge, you had Scovia Ayikoro, who missed the breaking the 200-meter dash by 3/100ths of a second. Missed the Georgia Southern record just narrowly, as they will have a week off before heading to Samford on February the 14th. Speaking of baseball, it's almost time for another round ball in Statesboro as Georgia Southern softball will get the season going this weekend. Friday through Sunday as they host the Bash in the Borough tournament. Friday, they'll take on Hartford at 4:30. East Tennessee State will come to Statesboro for a 7 o'clock first pitch for Georgia Southern softball. Saturday, it'll be 4:30 against East Tennessee State. Rutgers will be the matchup at 7 o'clock for Georgia Southern softball. And then they'll start it off on Sunday morning, 11:30 the first pitch against Army. It was a softball team for Georgia Southern that was picked 7th in the preseason poll under third-year head coach Kim Dean. It had Micaiah Freeman was a preseason all-conference pick and the only true four-year senior for this Georgia Southern team. Going to rely on a lot of youth for Georgia Southern softball this year, including the freshman right-handed pitcher and Aaliyah Garcia, a highly touted right-handed pitcher from Angleton, Texas. And for head coach Kim Dean as they start off the 2020 season this weekend with the Bash in the Borough.
She's fired up about this team. I think she's a little bit tentative because they haven't been able to get outside that much with the weather not being all that great in town the last week or so. But when you start a season this early, you know it's going to be cold. And we've talked about this with Georgia Southern baseball. Those first 2 weeks, there's not a whole lot of hitting. Pitching seems to dominate. Number one, guys need to warm themselves up, literally and figuratively. And number two, you just need to see the weather improve. But despite having a young team, Kim is excited about what she has. There's going to be a lot of sophomores around the diamond, but she does have something and someone that she can build around with Micaiah Freeman, two-time All-Sun Belt pick, one of the top hitters in program history. It's a good place to start.
You got to talk to her last week as getting set for another edition of Coach's Corner on Blue White Weekly. That'll get started up this week as it'll be you and I on Blue White Weekly this year as we dive into 8 different episodes, diving into Georgia Southern men's and women's basketball, softball, baseball, everything around Georgia Southern athletics.
Yeah, I'm excited to get involved with that with you. I know we've had this for a while, but a chance to expand what we already do on the network side and being able to reach even more people. And with that being on Fox Sports Southeast and knowing how many homes that gets into, especially in the greater Atlanta area, it's a chance to tell that Georgia Southern story to a big fan base.
I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of fun. It seems like every week I've got one of my friends up in Atlanta or somebody around the Southeast that'll send me a picture of them at a restaurant, and Fox Sports Southeast is up on, as Blue White Weekly's up on the TV in the restaurant or in the bar they're at, and they take a picture, send it to me, and say, "What are you doing on my TV?" I don't know.
I just walked in, they said, "Stand here," and they never told me to move.
I don't know. They handed me a microphone, I just start talking. Who knows? A couple of anniversaries to get to as got to remember 2 years ago today was when Edwin Jackson was tragically killed and taken from Eagle Nation. It's something that you don't want to keep bringing up, but something that needs to be remembered, the way that he represented Eagle Nation from when the time he was here at Georgia Southern playing on the football field until he took his talents to the NFL and was taken far too early.
You wonder what else could have been done. And I'm not just talking about what he would have done on the football field, because he worked his way from a walk-on here to an all-conference player, undrafted, to becoming a starter with the Colts. And I know he had missed that previous season because of injury. But think about all that he had done, not just in this community, but everything he did for people in the greater Indianapolis community. He became a fan favorite when he wasn't necessarily a household name, but that personality, infectious. Teammates loved him. People in the community loved him. I've said this before. I never got a chance to really get to know him. I met him twice during tailgate shows during home games at Paulson Stadium. But listening to all you guys talk about working with him, watching him, and talking to him, you do feel like you have an idea of the impact that he had on people. And the biggest impact that you know someone has on you is how you remember them after they leave. And unfortunately, in this case, I mean, we'll never get to shake his hand again. We'll never get to see the smile again from him. But despite only being on this earth 26 years, he left an amazing legacy.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that I'll remember personally. He had one of the most infectious smiles that you have ever seen. You talk about people all the time that have a big smile or an infectious personality. He had an infectious smile, and I don't know if that's a thing, but with Edwin Jackson, that definitely was a thing. Another anniversary we've got to talk about this coming Saturday on the 8th of February, back in 1982. I think we've brought this up a couple of times over the years on the Inside Eagle Nation podcast and throughout different broadcasts, but in 1982, on February the 8th, the mascot was born.
And he was not named what he is now. It's just that he was hatched during halftime of a home game at Hanner against Samford.
How about that?
He was just the Eagle. They didn't give him the name until quite a few years later. But that little guy you see on the sidelines of a lot of athletic events and out in the community and promoting Georgia Southern, the genesis of that was 38 years ago this week.
So they just call him the Eagle to be named later?
The newspaper clipping didn't go that deep.
Darn. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern women's basketball was on the road this past weekend on Thursday. Battle against the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina fell 66-59. That was a game where Georgia Southern women's hoops led by 11 in the third quarter. DJ Williams was in foul trouble, their all-conference scorer, and has been for the last couple of years. Got in foul trouble, picked up her fourth foul early in the third quarter. Missed the majority of the tail end of the third quarter, but came back with 8:17 to go in the fourth quarter. Had 25 points in the ball game, and when DJ Williams came back in, she just took over and led Coastal to a 66-59 victory over Georgia Southern. The Eagles then climbed the mountain after the game against Coastal Carolina. On Saturday, they were in Appalachian State, fell 83-75. It was a game where the offense was there for Georgia Southern, but the defense struggled, and it didn't help that Appalachian State came into the ballgame shooting just 25% from three-point land. And when you've got somebody that struggles that much from behind the arc, I think part of the game plan is if they shoot threes, you're okay with it as long as you protect the basket. Well, Appalachian State shot 54%. In the ball game from behind the arc, making 12 threes in the game. And again, Georgia Southern fell 83-75 to the Mountaineers. They fall to 6-14 overall, 3-6 in Sun Belt Conference play. They return home to try to get a little bit of revenge against the Arkansas schools. It's Little Rock on Thursday, 6:30 the tip-off. Arkansas State on Saturday with a 2 p.m. start inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Georgia Southern men's basketball on Thursday against the Trojans of Troy, 86-57 the victory for Georgia Southern. And as Georgia Southern was playing the Coastal game for women's basketball, pulled up the stat sheet for Georgia Southern men's basketball, and it was right at the tail end of the first half. And on stat broadcast that we use, it tells you what kind of runs that are going, whether it's a 7-0 run, a 6-0 run, a 9-2 run. I thought stat broadcast was broken from the way that it said the Georgia Southern run was to end the first half.
All right, quick story.
Okay.
It was 21-11.
Mm-hmm.
Troy.
Right.
They had scored 17 straight points. They're cooking, doing whatever they want to. Mark Byington said, all right, I'm tired of seeing this. 10:13 left, timeout. From that point on, 25 straight points for Georgia Southern. The defense got 14 consecutive stops. They tracked that. We've talked about the locks before, so that was four full locks and nearly a fifth in a row. They ended up getting 10, which if you get 7 in a game, your chance of winning is think we were told 95%.
Yeah.
So pretty solid. You get 10, yeah, you're probably pretty well off. It ends up being a 30-4 close to the first half. The game was effectively over at halftime when Georgia Southern was up 16. And I remember thinking the year before when Troy was at Hanner, the Eagles had a huge run to start the second half. It was a 27-4 run in the Broken Rim game, which the Eagles won by 25. They win this one 86-57. But once they put that run together, just looking down the table at the voice of the Trojans, the great Barry McKnight, and across the floor to the Trojans on the bench and seeing head coach Scott Cross just look up wondering, all right, we were just up 10. What happened? What happened? But then they go to Atlanta on Saturday, and they beat Georgia State. They give them their first home loss all year up on the third floor. We'll get to how crazy Saturday was in a minute, but that run for Georgia Southern was one of the best I've seen since I've been here.
Every time that I see a big run by Georgia Southern, a 24-0, a 30-4 run, the only thing that I can think of is a number of years ago when you were still at the Citadel, and I was sitting courtside with Chris Blair, who is still here at Georgia Southern.
Why are you bringing this up?
What was it? Citadel got up 7-0?
This was the only time I called a game for the Citadel here, courtside. The first 2 years we were up in the Crow's Nest. The one was a double overtime loss. The other one, Citadel came down, shot 60%, and ended up beating Georgia Southern. That evening, Citadel was up 6-0. Never great of the road, never really that good period. It was a tough era. Georgia Southern scored the next 29 points. The Citadel missed 17 shots in a row over the next 12 minutes.
I don't know why. Every time I see a long run, whether it's in a Georgia Southern game or not, I think of that game. And I remember when it got to about 14-0, 16-0, Chris Draper came over and sat by you, and he was just patting you on the back.
Yeah, he sure did.
Trying to comfort you. And Blair and I would just look down the table like, oh, poor Danny. Poor Danny.
At that point, watching Jelani Hewitt make three after three after three, I honestly didn't know what to say. I just thought, okay, it's 29-6. The Citadel used, that's when you still had five timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
The Citadel used four timeouts in the first half. Four in the first half. Couldn't stop it.
Against Troy again, 86-57, the victory for Georgia Southern men's basketball. Quan Jackson with 21 points. Isaiah Crawley, another double-double, 18-10 for Crawley on the ball game. Then they moved to South Alabama on Saturday, falling 79-69 to South Alabama. Trey Mitchell, 22 points. You had five Jaguars in double figures. Ike Smith and Quan Jackson both with 23 each. A good weekend for Quan over the last two games. But a crazy Saturday. You alluded to it a little bit earlier with Troy going up to Atlanta to defeat Georgia State. And that gave Georgia Southern an opportunity to move into second place with a victory.
Yeah.
But just again, we've talked about the matchup with South Alabama over the last couple of years, not one that Georgia Southern likes.
Yeah, they've dropped six out of the last nine to the Jaguars, and that's against different coaching staffs, even though some of the players did remain the same. Matthew Graves always gave the Eagles trouble when he was the head coach, and now Richie Riley in year two. It was a 60-60 game after an alley-oop to Elijah McCadden. There was 7.5 left, and then that's where South Alabama took control, and they had a shorter rotation. John Petway, the guy that's given the Eagles fits the last 3 years, he did not make the trip. Georgia Southern got Josh Ajayi in foul trouble. That's what the rest of the league hasn't really been able to do. He played five first-half minutes, left at the 14.5-minute mark, did not come back in the rest of the first half, and South Alabama still had a 13-point lead. Eagles ended up coming back, tying it. It was 41-41 at the half, 60-60 late, and then they just scored 10 in a row. Eagles couldn't make shots. They had 18 turnovers, which second time in as many meetings against the Jags that just couldn't hold on to the basketball during the second half. So, yeah, I think it was an opportunity wasted, but they weren't alone because around the rest of the league, Ark State, which was fourth going into Saturday, they went to the line 54 times against Coastal Carolina. They made 39. They lost.
Ugh.
That game may have taken 5.5 hours. I'm kidding, almost. And then in Little Rock, because the Trojans aren't losing to anybody at this point, they win again, playing App State. App State had just won in Jonesboro against Ark State that Thursday. App shot 73% for the game. And lost by 7.
Wow. Poor Harrison.
Never. I texted him after the game and said, how did you lose shooting 73% for the game? Little Rock had 26 assists. Marquise Knoll had 13 of them. Both teams were over 50% from three. App was down a good bit late, and I think they made a run to get it down to single digits. But then the other two games, and we'll talk about the Louisianas in a moment. Texas State handled La La after the buzzer beater on Thursday when they beat UT Arlington. Arlington handled ULM on Saturday. So those were the ho-hum games. And I guess to a degree, this was a ho-hum game, even though Georgia Southern had a chance to tie for second. But because the second, third, and fourth place teams going into Saturday all lost, Little Rock stays in first. They're hot right now. Little Rock's won the last six games. They're 11-2. They now have a 2.5 game lead over Georgia State, which, because Georgia Southern lost, they stayed in second. But because Arkansas State lost, Georgia Southern stays in third, now tied with Texas State, who has won five of the last six. So those Texas schools, remember, they had to start the year with four straight league games on the road. Now they're going to get into a part of the schedule where they're going to get a chance to stay in the Lone Star State quite a bit. We got to go down there at the end of February. There could be huge seeding implications at that point. But for Georgia Southern now, they've got to worry about another road trip going to Louisiana, and that's a trip they've only swept once since coming into the league.
So now tied for third place, it is you and Bill Colhane.
Yeah. And Bill's got 27 years on me.
The elder statesman against the young buck.
Well, technically Harrison's the young buck, or Josh Sowers.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to them later.
That's going to be a good podcast, though, talking about them.
As we continue on this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation, we mentioned it last week, our first edition of our True Blue Eagle of the Week went to Irk Russell. This week, it goes to Jack Stallings. This week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, Jack Stallings, former baseball coach at Georgia Southern University. Unfortunately, Coach Stallings passed away in the summer of 18. Last year, the team remembered him by putting Skip on the side of the baseball caps. Jack Stallings, he created the GS logo that we know associated with Georgia Southern baseball, but had a huge impact on this program.
And when they renovated J.I. Clement Stadium in 2017 and made sure the entire foul territory that goes all the way up the line and behind home plate, it says Jack Stallings Field. Rightfully, it should. One of the two numbers that baseball has retired, along with Todd Green's number 20. Jack Stallings, of course, wore number one. He spent time as the head coach at Wake Forest, his alma mater, also at Florida State. Greatest success, though, here in Statesboro. 24 years, 800-plus victories. 1990 College World Series, a dream season with guys like Rob Fitzpatrick, Peter Bouma. That was Todd Green's freshman season when he became an All-American. He was the Tag Player of the Year that year. But think just not what Coach Stallings did for the game of baseball here. He also took it worldwide, traveling to so many different countries, promoting and developing relationships through the game of baseball. And we played his quote a lot of last season, whether it was me saying it before the first pitch or in the tournament, we had the clip of him saying it. It's a great day for baseball. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and the bats are jumping in the rack. Let's go get them.
Jack Stallings, also a big part of USA Baseball throughout the years, also held a faculty position here in Statesboro as an associate professor in the Department of Health and Kinesiology on campus. Just a overall great person to be a part of a program. Jack Stallings is this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Again, make sure to tune in every Monday as we release our next True Blue Eagle of the Week. Once again, Jack Stallings is this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Talked about it in the feature about how he created the Georgia Southern GS logo that baseball uses so much. Last year, they had Skip on the side of the caps for Georgia Southern baseball to remember him. But a guy that we talk about a program all the time, and Jack Stallings really helped build this program into what it is today. And it's somebody like Rodney Hennen, now head coach for Georgia Southern baseball, to continue that legacy. And I think Coach Hennen really takes that really seriously of carrying on what Jack Stallings, J.I. Clement started.
Well, when Coach Stallings was here in 1976, Ron Polk had only been here 4 years. Granted, he took the team to a College World Series in 73, infusing a lot of junior college talent from the state of Florida. Coach Stallings was here until 99. Rodney Hennen gets hired that summer, and he's still here 21 years later. So he's taking that absolutely seriously about being able to continue a legacy, and one that he is very firm on here in Statesboro. Just like Coach Stallings, I believe Coach Hennon's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to win his 800th all-time game at some point in 2020, and it could be very early because of the amount of talent that he has, but it should be another great season. But every season that Georgia Southern baseball has is because of the contributions of guys like J.I. Clemens and from our True Blue Eagle of the Week in Jack Stallings.
We'll have a full preview of Georgia Southern baseball coming up next week, as, boy oh boy, it's only a couple of days until first pitch for Georgia Southern baseball. They will welcome in the Ball State Cardinals coming in the 14th through the 16th to J.I. Clemens Stadium, a four-game series. You'll have a doubleheader on that 15th on the Saturday. But for Georgia Southern women's basketball, again, they will be at home against the Arkansas schools, taking a look at a Sun Belt Conference standings really fast, as Troy sits atop at 8-1 in women's basketball standings. Coastal Carolina and Little Rock are both tied for second at 7-2 in conference play. You have three teams tied for fourth, with Louisiana, UT Arlington, and Arkansas State at 6-3. Georgia Southern sitting in eighth place at 3-6. But a good weekend, we talked about it last week, there's so much parity in this league, a good weekend can jump you three or four spots in conference standings, as the Eagles look ahead to the Little Rock Trojans falling 58-46 up in Little Rock. And we talk about it time and time again, even though this is a Little Rock team that may be a little bit down from what they are normally, a down year for Little Rock is still going to be a relatively good year for a Sun Belt Conference team overall. But again, falling 58-46 in the first game against the Little Rock Trojans, and the defense that Joe Foley presents is a swarming defense, and they're going to be at you for 40 minutes. And we've talked about it so many times, it is hard to get any kind of shot, let alone a good shot, against the Joe Foley team.
You're a fan of the movie Miracle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when Herb Brooks said, if you score on Tradiac, keep the puck. Well, exactly. If you score a lot on Little Rock, keep the ball, because it doesn't happen very often.
They will look to Arkansas State, a 2 o'clock tip-off on Saturday, falling 69-62 to the Arkansas State Red Wolves. And that was a game that really kind of jump-started Arkansas State over the last couple of weeks. We talked about the victory that they had over Coastal Carolina on a last-second buzzer-beating shot by Jaira Washington, but has really propelled them. So we mentioned they are now 6-3 in Sun Belt Conference play, 9-11 overall on the season. But when you look at this Arkansas State team, it's a lot of youth. Jaira Washington, one of those who has really come on strong this year for the Red Wolves. But a 6:30 tip-off against Little Rock on Thursday, 2 o'clock the tip-off against Arkansas State on Saturday. We'll have the call for you on those on the Georgia Southern Sports Network online at gseagles.com/watch. We'll start at 6 o'clock on Thursday, 1:30 the airtime on Saturday against Arkansas State. Georgia Southern men's basketball will look ahead to another familiar foe, as Georgia Southern facing off against the Louisiana schools as they will head down to the Boot State. 8 o'clock Eastern time tip-off on Thursday against ULM. That was a game Georgia Southern defeated ULM 67-56 earlier on this season inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Their last win was 1 month ago today, if you're listening to this on time, on Tuesday the 4th. 1 month ago today was their last win. They've lost their last eight on the series. Last game, it was J.D. Williams, 20 points against Georgia Southern, and you've always got to look out for Ertl.
Especially now, because J.D. Williams is out for the season. He hurt his ankle against Louisiana in that rivalry game. He only played a couple of minutes in the first half. They decided that he needed surgery. We were at the CIT game last year when he broke his ankle against Texas Southern. We were there before the ULM baseball series when the Eagles were participating over at Warhawk Field. That's tough for Williams, because they were struggling this year, and it's going to be tough for them to score. Ertl was very, very important for that team, even more so now. He scores 15 a game, shooting about 34% from three, but you just wonder who else is going to emerge for them. Tyree White has stepped up. He's become virtually a double-figure guy after being just about an afterthought the first year and a half down in Monroe, and somebody like a lefty in Jalen Hodge, who has battled injury during his time there. He is somebody that can shoot the basketball. I think he just needs time and space to be able to do that. Josh Nicholas has been good in spurts. The transfer out of Indian Hills in Iowa, and even somebody like Langston Powell, who lit it up for 18 against Coastal earlier this year. If they can click at the same time, they can take people down. But they just had trouble getting that, and that's why they've had this extended stretch where they can't seem to get anything going.
Saturday will be against the Raging Cajuns down in the Cajun Dome in Lafayette. 8 o'clock the tip-off as well. Both of these airtimes will be at 7:30. Danny Reed will have the call for you in the countdown to tip-off 30 minutes prior. But got the victory 71 51 over the Raging Cajuns inside Hanner Fieldhouse a couple of weeks ago. But this is a Cajuns team that we talked about early had struggled, but have won two of their last three games. We talked about it a little bit earlier, knocking off UT Arlington on a buzzer-beating three. You saw it on ESPN's top plays of the day. You had, I think it ended up being number one on the ESPN top 10. But the best part of watching that is not watching the acrobatic shot from the right wing, not the ball going through, not Louisiana beating UT Arlington. The best part of watching that, for me, is when you look just above where he shoots it, you see the scores table. At the end of the scores table, you have our buddy Jay Walker. He's kind of leaning back in his chair, kind of relaxed like Jay Walker normally is. And as the ball goes through, Jay Walker looks about as excited as I've seen Jay Walker look in a while.
So that means it was a pretty big moment.
Yeah.
The way it went down, they had a putback layup, did Arlington, with 3 seconds left, and Louisiana had to go the entire way. P.J. Hardy threw a baseball pass. Duguay, 6'9", made the catch right around the top of the key. Didn't really have time to do much besides turn and shoot, and I'm not so sure he saw the basket when he shot the ball. It was perfect, though. It splashed right through. And I had a chance to talk with the voice of the Mavericks, Josh Sowers, about it. And, you know, we've been on the right side of a couple buzzer beaters the last few years. We've also been on the wrong side of Justin Forrest hitting a shot for App State near the buzzer up in Boone earlier this season. If you get some, you're going to have some happen against you. The thing that hurt for Arlington is that it happened on their home floor. It's different if they would have been the ones winning the game or if the Cajuns would have done it in the Cajun Dome, but to lose a game at the buzzer on your home floor can be kind of devastating. Granted, they did bounce back and beat ULM on Saturday, but we're seeing the Cajuns finally get healthy. They had 7 scholarship guys when they came to Statesboro before, and they led at the half. I mean, they were out playing Georgia Southern, but then Tyra Smith, their ultra-energy guy at 6'8", got into real early foul trouble. He fouled out with, I think, more than 11 minutes left in that game, and at that point, the Eagles just took control. They ended up winning it by 20. You could just tell that at some point during the second half, the Cajuns just, okay, we gave this our best. We just didn't have enough to be able to do this. But Malik Wilson is back off a knee injury. They've gotten Cedric Russell back off of a foot issue. Smith had some off-season issues, but he's been able to play this season healthy. They had Duguay miss time because of the flu. He didn't play that UT Arlington loss at the Cajun Dome. He's back. It doesn't look like they're going to get Trajan Wesley back anytime soon after he had that nasty fall against South Alabama. Severe concussion and back issues for him. They already had 3 guys out for the year with knee injuries. So they're going to be shortchanged. No matter who they get back, they may be as close as they can get at this point. The thing that Georgia Southern has to do, I know you don't want to look at standings this early. You kind of have to if you're in our profession because, yeah, it gives us something else to talk about. But they're going to be taking on a team in ULM that's 12th in the league. Louisiana is 11th. I know you're going to their place. You got to take care of your business. If you're going to be a top 4 team at minimum and have a chance to be a top 2 team, you got to win. You got to win on the road. You've got to take care of teams that are slipping. You have to.
Coach Byington's talked about it ever since he got into the Sun Belt Conference and got here to Georgia Southern of you've got to sweep at home and split on the road. And then every once in a while, you're going to get a road stretch a lot like this one where you're facing the 11th and 12th teams in the Sun Belt Conference where you need to pick up a random road sweep. And I know he used to do milkshakes after the game and donuts after road wins, but
still
milkshakes. Does it? Okay.
So this isn't a donut crew. When Monte Glenn was here, he was a big donut guy.
I got
But
you.
Now they've shifted from donuts to the last couple of years, it's been more milkshakes. But Monte was a big advocate of the donuts. And I can remember out in Jonesboro a few years ago where Rob Burke had to leave the bus that had broken down, had to go find a Krispy Kreme, and brought a couple dozen back to the bus. And that was still when you were with me.
Yeah.
That's when we were still being able to split the trips. But yeah, the bus had broken down that night before we had a chance to go to Little Rock. So Burke in his always hustling mode had to go find a Krispy Kreme so those guys could have that as we were trying to figure out how we were going to get to the Little Rock the next day. And congratulations to him, by the way, interim head coach at UNC Wilmington. They've done very well since he's taken over. He spent 2 years here as the director of operations, one of the best guys in the profession. I've known him for about a decade. Only good things for him up in Wilmington if he has a chance to continue the job after the season.
All right, so you get milkshakes after road wins. What's your go-to milkshake? Are you just a regular chocolate kind of guy or a cookies and cream or...
I'll go cookies and cream every now and then, but there's something about chocolate chip cookie dough that I can't leave alone.
Ooh, it's okay. Now you're talking my language.
All you have to do is say they have a cookie dough milkshake, and whatever I'm doing, I stop. That's my hook.
Well, we mentioned that Louisiana is 11th in the league at 4-8 in conference play, ULM at 12th at 2-10. When you look at the rest of the standings in Sun Belt play, we touched on it a little bit earlier with Little Rock at the top at 11-2, one of the big surprises in the league for Georgia Southern, winning their last six games. But Georgia State sitting in second place at 8-4. Texas State and Georgia Southern tied for third at 7-5 apiece. Arkansas State at 7-6. Then you get down to 6th and 7th place with 6-6 with App State and UT Arlington. And you look at it and we say that Louisiana has struggled, and they have at 4-8. But you get a couple of wins this weekend against the Georgia schools. You're on your home floor. That thankfully doesn't look like a swamp or what they said was a swamp anymore.
Yeah, they decided to change it back so people wouldn't think they were going to take a Rorschach test or try to see the ink blotter. If you were low enough, you didn't realize it. But if you were sitting up high enough taking a picture, you're trying to figure out, okay, what is that? And they told, it's a swamp. Oh, okay.
It's one of those to be in about a selection of about three seats in the Cajun Dome that you can see, oh, that's a swamp. Yeah, no, the rest of it just looks like a mess. But you get a couple of wins this week against Georgia schools, and you're up into the 6, 7, 8 spots in the Sun Belt standings. We talk about the parity in the Sun Belt Conference on the women's side. There's a lot of it in the men's side, too.
And now you're at the point where if you're at the bottom half of the standings, remember, 11 and 12 don't go to the tournament. So if you freeze up at this point, then you're not going to have a chance to play for a bid to the NCAA tourney. And right now, ULM is pretty firm in one of those two spots. They could just as easily pick it up because they can shoot the basketball with guys like Ertl and guys like Hodge. I know losing Williams is really going to hamper them. But the Cajuns, now that they're back and healthy, they're very good at home. They can knock down threes with a healthy Cedric Russell. We're going to get a chance to see Malik Wilson for the first time. He didn't play in that first meeting because of the sprained knee that he suffered against Appalachian State. But this is a trip where, since Georgia Southern lost 2 of 3 during the last homestand, you can balance that back out by getting both on the road trip, even though they've only swept it once. But worry about ULM Thursday. Make the drive to southwestern Louisiana. Worry about the Cajuns on Saturday, and let's come home.
Again, women's basketball at home. Little Rock on Thursday, 6:30 the tip-off. Arkansas State on Saturday, 2 o'clock the tip-off inside Hanner Fieldhouse. Men's basketball will be on the road to the Louisianas. ULM on Thursday at 8 o'clock inside the Fant Yuen Coliseum, inside the Cajun Dome on Saturday against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. 8 o'clock the tip-off on both of the games down in the Boot State. 7:30 the airtime on both of those all across the Georgia Southern Sports Network. Getting into the spring sports season, softball again in the Bash in the Borough this weekend at Eagle Field, the newly lit Eagle Field. You've got the...
It's going to be lit.
In a couple of different ways. You've got the new LED lights at Eagle Field and at J.I. Clements. Make sure to come out this weekend to support Kim Dean in her third season for Georgia Southern softball. And next weekend, Danny Reed, it is Georgia Southern baseball time. Ah, boy, oh boy. Get our scorebooks in this week.
Will you be here?
I won't. I will be...
I had to remind people of that.
You're man, right. I was so excited for it. I was fired up. And you're like, you going to be here?
You're going to be at an opening day. You're going to be at Teague Moore Field for the opening of the Matt Deggs era when they host Southeastern Louisiana. But here in Statesboro, we've got a pretty good Ball State team coming in, which we'll talk about next week. It's here.
Our scorebooks are here. It's here. It's almost baseball season, but Georgia Southern basketball will wrap it up this weekend as well. Again, men in Louisiana, Georgia Southern women's basketball at home. Until this weekend, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.